Don't delay. I mean, if you've got this little spark burning inside you, you know, fan the flames and turn it into a fire. I think changes, it's always easier to make earlier in life.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, creatives, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. We will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Jewel Schroeder. Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Jewel Schroeder, tuning in today from Boulder, Colorado. Today's guest is joining me from Singapore. I have Simon Rhee in the house. Simon, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
Absolutely, Jules. Lovely to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, really excited to have you on the show. You have such a diverse background of experience with over three decades as an active trader, investor, financial markets professional. Previously, you've held senior positions with Goldman Sachs in Australia, in Citibank in Singapore, before going all in on trading in 2017. And I know a lot of your mission and vision for what you stand for is to help people live more creative, joyful, and inspired lives by allowing the financial burdens of stress, you know, that usually weigh people down, which is so much of the unconventional life, living that and reality. I know you're also the founder of DaoofTrading.com, which is an online education company that's helped so many aspiring wealth builders learn how to use the financial markets for trading. And you've also written the number one bestselling book, The Dao of Trading, How to Build Abundant Wealth in Any Market Condition. Unconventional Lifers, stay tuned for the giveaway at the end of the show. We might have something about that. And beyond all of that, you're a Jeet Kune Do instructor, which I hope did not butcher in the intro. But welcome to the show, Simon.
Thank you.
Gaps. I love that, and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Well, that's a very complete introduction. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about how you view, you know, the financial markets and even the Dao of Trading, which inherently, when I hear the name, it very much feels like an East meets West philosophy of how you approach it. And is that accurate? And can you share a little bit about your philosophy around the holistic perspective of trading and finances?
Absolutely. I guess the traditional view of stock markets or markets and trading, financial markets, it's a very dog eat dog world. It's a zero sum game. You know, you have to destroy your opposition to get ahead. And I really feel like this scarcity mindset really seems to dominate the traditional view of financial markets. All of that stuff may or may not be true. It's a really unhelpful mindset to adopt if you want to flourish in the financial market. My view of the financial markets is to view them as a river of abundance. And really, as a trader or as a market participant, all I want to do is just dip my hand in that river and take out a little scoop each day. You think about the New York Stock Exchange, it turns over $400 billion worth every day on average. Mm-hmm. I only need to take out a tiny little scoop of that to make a very nice living.
Absolutely. And can you tell us a little bit about how the Dao of Trading is kind of set up? Because I think sometimes for someone that might not even have the background of trading, it can feel like this complex, inaccessible hump to get in. And if you have had the background, maybe it doesn't occur that way. And I know that you really work to bridge the gap of accessibility for people.
Massively. It was why I wrote the book, Jules. My book is, it's about options trading. And, you know, why does the world need another book on options trading? There are already hundreds, if not thousands of books that have been written on the subject. And I know that because I've read quite a few of them. Problem is, with all of the books that I've read, at least, that they all tend to be quite dull and quite difficult, yeah. Complex maths, and they tend to be quite boring. They read like textbooks. So my mission with the Dao of Trading was to write a book on options trading that is both simple and engaging. And I like to say, I think I've succeeded. I've received some great feedback on the book. And the number of people who've told me they've read the entire book within a weekend is astounding. And I mean, it's a 340-page book. It's not a pamphlet. You know, a lot of people have told me they've read it within a weekend. They couldn't put it down. Which again isn't something you often hear about a book on options trading.
Absolutely. And Unconventional Lifers, as I mentioned in the introduction, stay tuned for the end for our giveaway. We got something exciting about that. And, you know, I know your background, and I mentioned this in the intro, it's quite diverse in the traditional sense. And then you really went all in on 2017. And most people who stay in that corporate track don't often go in their own track. And so what was it, if we were a fly on the wall, you know, what were you sensing and seeing at that time? And what had you make the leap and make the pivot into doing what you do now?
It's something that had been on my mind for a long time. This desire to, I guess, teach is something that I think is fairly innate in me. You know, I realized through my martial arts background, like I loved learning.
Yeah.
And it was only when I became a Jeet Kune Do instructor that I realized how much I love teaching, and then how much better and more consistent I became as a practitioner once I started teaching. The old saying, when one person teaches, two people learn, you know, that is 100% true. I'd been in, you know, a corporate career my entire life, and I just got to a point in my life where I thought, what is my marginal contribution to society here? And I didn't really like the answers I was getting. Really, all I'd done up to that point was help people who were already fantastically wealthy kind of stay that way or become even wealthier. And I just thought, look, I've got a great skill set here. And what I want to do is put that to use to help people who could really benefit from it rather than people who, frankly, they don't really need it. They've sort of already made it. It became obvious to me again. I was a few years ago, I was having kite surfing lessons. I suck at kite surfing. I've got no business teaching anyone how to kite surf. But I realized, even as I was doing my lessons, I was asking myself, how would I explain this to someone else? How would I teach someone else to do what I'm doing? Yeah, it's like an innate part of me, that love of teaching. And I've just combined that with a skill set that I've developed over 3 decades.
You know, I do agree with that as you teach something, I do think it makes you a better practitioner. And I also, you know, I'm into music. I've taught music, yoga. I mean, we do events, so many different, you know, diverse things as well. And I think even asking yourself those questions, like you said, in that inquiry, it's very courageous. I think it's often not the norm for many people to really look back and say, like you said, you know, what am I leaving my legacy or my contribution on, and what really actually matters? And in order to make that jump, I imagine from a mindset perspective, for some people that might be listening to the show right now, they might have made the jump, they might be straddling, they might be hybrid, they might be in some phase of a transition. What did it take in terms of systems and structure and support? Was it easy for you to just to do it once you got to that point? Or what did it take? Like, who did you have to become to be the person to actually step into the life that you wanted to build?
It was easy to make the decision, but the decision was less easy to live with initially. Now, walking away from a paycheck is always hard. What was really hard is leaving behind the pre-built social network you have when you have a corporate job. You've got work colleagues who become friends that you see every day and banter over the water cooler and lunch appointments and all of those things. So, you know, I struggled a little bit with some relative loneliness initially. I realized that I just had to make much more effort in maintaining social circles. It's something that's absolutely doable, and it's something I've managed to maintain. But rather than being sort of the default mode, it becomes something that does require effort. I'd say that was probably the biggest struggle, actually.
And when you look at things now, which I know, flash forward, you know, it's definitely been a few years since that moment. Yeah. How do you set up, you know, I know you have such a full life as well. It's not just you've built this business around your lifestyle to support all the different interests you have, which I think is also really important. And any advice you can give to our listeners from what you've learned now since making that initial jump?
Don't delay. I mean, if you've got this little spark burning inside you, you know, fan the flames and turn it into a fire. I think changes, it's always easier to make earlier in life. And I say that as somebody who didn't become an online entrepreneur. I loathe that term, you know, for what it is, until I was 46 years old. All right. So I wasn't particularly young when I made the jump. By the time you've settled yourself down with lots and lots of financial responsibilities, it does become a more difficult decision to make. The thing is, people, they just get stuck in a rut. And if things aren't particularly bad, they'll just roll with the punches. Most people, you know, there'll be aspects about their day job that they don't love. Most bosses kind of suck, you know, this concept that you've got to ask somebody else's permission to take a vacation or what have you. I mean, these are things that we just roll with. Unless things become so bad that we're forced to make a decision, I would encourage people to, they feel that spark, and I think most people have that spark, fan the flames of it and make that decision sooner rather than later.
Well said. Well, and I know that type of, I'll use the word complacency or just comfortability of routine, also applies to money. And even making that leap of you figure it out and it's good, but it's never great, or you're in this predictable kind of frame with it. You know, a lot of your book, you look at even some of the myths of Wall Street and some of the things that we've inherited as a conversation, which just aren't frankly true. And so I'd love for you to share a little bit about some of those myths or barriers that you think people have to really going after the type of financial reality that they want.
You see, Wall Street, they've got a vested interest in managing your money for the long term and charging you a whole heap of fees in return for doing it, all right? Your typical Wall Street firm, their very existence depends on propagating certain myths that are just not true. One of the big myths that gets propagated is this idea that 10% per annum return is a great return. You should feel very grateful if that's what you're getting, and how could you expect to do any better? This comes from the fact that the average annual return of the S&P 500 over the very long term happens to be about 10% per year. So what that means is that that is a return that can be generated without expending really any effort at all, provided you can ride out a market cycle. There have been long periods of time when the S&P where it's done nothing. I mean, if you look at the S&P between 2000 and 2012, it went nowhere, but it had two 50% drawdowns during that period. But what is a return that's kind of unlikely to be life-changing? There is a very popular investment strategy where you just buy and hold, a dollar cost average, buy an S&P 500 ETF and just keep buying it every month. And look, that can certainly work because, you know, compounding is very effective over the very long term. So if you're in your 20s and you can commit to a disciplined strategy, it can work really, really well. But if you're older than that, you're in your 40s and you haven't got a decent nest egg saved up, those sorts of returns are not going to be life-changing. And that's where learning a skill like trading can really accelerate your wealth generation potential. And even if you are closer to retirement and you have got something of a nest egg saved up, but maybe it's not big enough to live off 10% per annum, trading can provide you also with a reliable income stream.
And talking about trading specifically, you know, I also think sometimes, you know, it's like, is this day trading? Is this going to full-time take over my life? Is it set it and forget it? I'm sure it looks all the different things. I'm sure you get all the questions. But how, give us a world of what trading can actually look like for the average person and the accessibility of it.
So trading, the way I do it and the way I teach it, it's about being as time effective as possible and as low stress as possible. So, you know, I teach people a bunch of setups and how to read charts and how to identify trends and momentum and all of the kind of the bread and butter behind finding a good opportunity. And then beyond that, success, long-term success in trading, it's all about having the right mindset and managing your risk. So we really focus on those areas as well. But the other thing that we do is we teach people how to scan for high probability setups. So these scans can be run in a matter of seconds, and they give you a short list of high probability setups for you to analyze. So instead of going through hundreds of charts every day, you might only have a handful, you might only have a dozen. Some days there might be none. We don't trade every day. But the idea is to get your trading done in, on average, 20 minutes a day. So it's not full time. You're not sitting there staring at the screen. You do all of your market analysis when the stock market is closed. So you're very emotionally detached. You're not moving prices and charts and red and yellow and green lights flashing. It's all done in the cold light of day with a cup of coffee or a cup of green tea or whatever suits you. But it's done in a very time efficient manner. Now, when I say 20 minutes a day, that's once you've kind of grooved the process. When you're learning the process, it'll require a greater investment of time than that. And 20 minutes a day is an average. Some days it might take you an hour. Some days it might take you 2 minutes. But on average, 20 minutes a day, I think, is a reasonable time expectation.
Absolutely. You know, talked about in Unconventional Lifers in the book. I know you go into a lot more of the philosophy of it. But for, you know, our listeners who are looking to make decisions, obviously emotional, you know, I've done all kinds of trading. My dad actually was a big guy at Goldman Sachs, you know, and did all that before he retired and became a ski instructor and, and now lives his own life. He hit a point and he was like, I can always make more money, but what about the quality of life? And so that background, you know, of like traditional markets, cryptocurrency, options, Forex, I've played in all of it. And it can be very overwhelming, you know, even the concepts, but the emotional stress. And I think that when it comes to money and even conversations around money, we all come in with our own degree of relationships, you know, baggage, if you will, or, you know, things that we've had. And sometimes navigating beyond that is almost bigger than actually learning the skill itself, mastering yourself with anything in life, really. You learn to master your internal world, it becomes easier to master your external world. And so how do you incorporate that with trading? And even it can apply to all areas of your life, and any perspective you can offer for our listeners, whether they come into this skill specifically or just in general.
There is so much wisdom in what you just shared there, because emotional control is the final frontier in trading. And I think it is in life in many ways as well. I mean, if you pick the unemotional response to any event that happens in your life, just watch how much easier your life becomes, right? Freedom is no different. And you're right, money is one of those things that just lights us up. When people think about money, it lights up more brain activity than when they think about almost anything else, including things like sex and what have you. It really does light the human brain up. So emotional control is very, very important. And what I always say to people is when you start trading, start small. Start with an amount of money that if you did lose it, it wouldn't alter your lifestyle. It wouldn't impact your ability to pay rent or put food on the table. And it's not because we're going to lose that money. That's not the reason behind it. The reason behind starting small is it keeps your emotions on an even keel. What I say to people is if you're in a position and you're feeling surges of euphoria or surges of fear, you're trading too big. All right. Whenever you feel those surges of emotion, they're going to impact your ability to make good decisions. So when you're trading, you shouldn't feel anything more than mild happiness or mild disappointment. If you're beyond that sort of emotional range, you're trading too big. Thing is, stress makes you stupid. All right. If you're feeling stress, it's going to impact your ability to make good decisions. Similarly, if you're feeling euphoric, you're going to become a bit more haphazard and a bit more sloppy in your process. Another rule I share with my traders is my no high fives rule. As soon as you feel like high fiving yourself about how good a trader you are, close all of your positions and just take 24 hours off because the market is about to teach you a lesson. And it works every time. It still catches me up occasionally.
I love it. Even with that, as I mentioned as well, you are a certified Jeet Kune Do instructor and you walk your talk with the practices that you do to keep yourself centered. And did that always come naturally for you, making time for yourself and your emotional self as you navigate life, or was that something that was learned?
It's something I had to figure out. You know, I was a pretty angry teenager. You know, my parents split up when I was 13 and I moved from the UK to Australia and went to a rough school. And, you know, I'm not painting a sob story, but, you know, I had some emotional issues and emotional baggage to deal with and had a bit of anger in me as a young man, as a lot of us often do. Martial arts was just a refuge for me. I didn't really appreciate how it was perhaps cultivating my inner world until I was, you know, well into my 20s. And that was when I realized the impact it was having on my inner self rather than just the external fighting skills kind of thing. Most people get into martial arts because they want to get fit and they want to learn how to defend themselves. They're great, admirable skills, but the internal cultivation is really powerful as well.
Yeah, as we've been talking, that's echoed and carried into all different areas of your life. And Unconventional Lifers, definitely check out Simon's book, which we'll put in the giveaway section. We'll put the links on our show notes to check that out at the end. Simon, I want to transition to the rapid fire round, which is the last part of our show. It's a series of lightning questions coming at you that Unconventional Lifers will talk about the giveaway shortly after that. So are you ready?
Hello, Unconventional Lifers. This is your host, Jules, with some exciting news to share. We just launched our next Unconventional Life event on a private island in Fiji this November 9th through the 13th. This 5-day business accelerator is going to be so awesome, full of 75 entrepreneurs, creatives, and thought leaders located on the most gorgeous private coral reef. I was there in June and absolutely fell in love. So if you are ready to head to your next level, you feel like there's something brewing inside of you, or you want an awesome pattern interrupt, make sure to head over to unconventionallifeshow.com/Fiji to get all the details about the event. We are selling tickets like crazy. We just launched this event and made it open. We do these events twice a year. So come connect with this amazing community. Join us on this island in Fiji. Even if you're a little bit curious, head over to that link to see what it's all about, and we'll see you there.
Absolutely.
All right. Question number one, fill in the blank, speaking about yourself. If you really knew me, you would know what?
That I really care about other people's outcomes. One of the most rewarding experiences I've found, particularly since moving to my current life, is when you see the penny drop, when you see the light bulb go off in somebody else's head, when somebody gets it, I find that honestly, one of the most rewarding things in life, whether it's martial arts or trading. I really, really love that feeling. I feel very invested in the outcomes that other people get.
I love that. Next question. When it comes to the practice of joy and inspiration in your life, what is one of the things that you do regularly that you feel activates your joy quota for you?
This is going to sound like a cliche, but I do find keeping, you know, my version of a gratitude journal helps really well. Well, what I try and do every morning, sometimes I slip, but I've got a notebook and sort of on the left-hand side, I write down all of the things that I'm grateful for. And on the right-hand side, I write down all of the things that I want.
I love it. Absolutely. Well, and I think the being gratitude of what you have and then opening for what you want, the merging of those. Well, I don't know if you're familiar with Hertz's law of energy scales, but they look at the emotion and it has a signature with gratitude being at the top and shame being at the very bottom. And when that you're in the spirit of gratitude, you're in the highest manifestation or attraction energy. So that makes sense.
Yeah, perfect. I have to look that up.
Yeah, you really should. Hertz is an energy scale. So, and for all of you unconventional lifers. My next question for you, living in Singapore, for our listeners that have never been, which I have been to Singapore and I love Singapore, what is something that people might not know about Singapore or one reason that you love living there?
It's warm every single day. There's no winter here. Singapore is only, I think it's 140 miles from the equator. There's very little seasonal variation. Now, you could take a glass half empty approach to that and say, oh, it's boring, there's no seasons. Or you could take a glass half full approach and say, I can swim in an outdoor pool every single day of the year.
I love it. Lastly, when you think about living the unconventional life in a few words, what does living the unconventional life mean to you?
It's freedom, choosing how you get to spend your time and being master of that, doing stuff that you want or stuff that you find rewarding. You won't spend 100% of your time doing stuff that you want. There's always stuff that you need to do. But doing that out of choice rather than that of somebody telling you to do it is a very different feeling.
Absolutely. Well said. Simon, Ree, everyone. Simon, tell us about the giveaway that you have for one of the listeners.
So what I'll give away is a signed hardback version of my book, The Tao of Trading. It's an Amazon number one bestseller. Been getting rave reviews. A lucky winner will receive a copy of that, post it to them, registered mail with a little welcome message on the intro.
Amazing. Simon, thank you so much for that. Unconventional Lifers, you can have it over to the website, unconventionallifeshow.com. Click on the giveaway tab. As a reminder, giveaways are always open 1 week after the episode airs. Episodes always air every Monday, so make sure to never miss an episode and catch us live, and we'll take care of that for you. And Simon, for those that want to follow along, I know you're active on a lot of different platforms. What's the best place for people to do that and to stay in touch?
So I've got some resources for your listeners at my website. Well, I'll give you the website. It's www.taoftrading, which is TAOOFTRADING.com. taoftrading.com/jewels. There's some resources there. They can download the first chapter of my book for free. And there's a pretty hefty discount on some of my materials there.
Amazing.
They can follow me on Twitter, Twitter at Simon_Ree. And I'm on LinkedIn as well, Simon Ree.
Amazing. And Ree is R-E-E. Thank you so much for those resources. We'll also throw those in the show notes at unconventionallifeshow.com. So go ahead and check that out there. Simon, thank you so much for taking the time. I know we were talking before you got on live, just the different time zones on Spanish Life. She's up at 5 a.m. to chat with us today, which is amazing. And just such a dedication to living a life that you're inspired by. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Absolute pleasure, Jules.
Thanks so much, everyone.